Feliz Día de la Madre. Happy Mother's Day. We have Mother's Day in Uruguay. Normally it's the second Sunday of the month, but the merchants got together and went to the government and they agreed that it would be more financially beneficial to have Mother's Day on the third Sunday of this month. So that will be next Sunday for those in Uruguay. And then in June, we have Father's Day here in the U.S., but in July, we have it in Uruguay. So I will have the benefit of having Father's Day here in the United States. 2 days later, we go to Uruguay, and so in July, I'll get Father's Day there. Bit of trivia for the day. You know, Uruguay isn't a really commonly known country. Two extremes to that. One time we were on a plane in, West Virginia, and I'm sitting next to a guy on the plane. I start chatting with him, and wouldn't you know, he's from Uruguay. And so we got to talking, well, exactly where in Uruguay are you? Well, I'm from Montevideo, he says. And I'm thinking, I'm from Montevideo. And we've got 1.5 million people there. It's got like 60-some neighborhoods that divides up the city. And I'm asking him, so what, where from in Montevideo? And he says, Parque Valle. And come to find out, it was like 5 houses away from where our church is. So, I mean, That never happens. We have maintained contact, and just recently sent his two of his kids to our children's class. So we'll see if that contact continues. To the other extreme, we were visiting a church just because we were with some of our kids in West Virginia. So like, where do we go to church? Well, let's go here. And the kids knew the pastor a little bit, so they were telling the pastor, my parents are here from Uruguay. And we are sitting in the congregation, and the pastor gets up, does the announcements, and he says, and we'd like to welcome to our congregation some missionaries from Uzbekistan. And we're kind of looking around thinking, wow, I've never met any missionaries from there. And someone set him straight, and it was supposed to be from Uruguay. So I'm supposing he went home and checked out his map that night. To think of some trivia. Pastor Billy's talking about some dates. No one's going to punish him if he, gets a year off or so. I might get punished if I forget, my anniversary. But trivia, it could be dates. It could be events. It could be people's names. Okay, my name in Uruguay, the Spanish language doesn't have a TH in it to be able to say Keith. And so I'm constantly presenting myself, my name's Keith. What? What does that mean? And when I tell them it means handsome, they haven't bought it yet. I think it means something like forest or woodsman or something like that. Okay, so trivia of the evening, and you'll have to speak loudly so I can hear what you're saying. What person in the Bible has a name that means fortunate? It could be faithful, but most come up with fortunate. Could you speak a little louder? I'm not hearing. Okay, trivia of the day. That person happens to be Tychicus. Anybody have children named Tychicus? It's not common. But Tychicus kind of caught my attention as I was reading through the scriptures once, and it just made me want to look into his life a little bit more. And that's what I'd like to share tonight. And one of the reasons is, even someone my age, and of course, even or especially younger people, they need a hero. We need heroes. Pastor Hopper was a hero to me. I come here as a new Christian. He and his wife take me under his wing and invest for the next 5 years. There was another pastor in Colorado Springs. He was a hero to me. He had a love for people, an understanding of ministry. He had a huge load on his shoulders, but never too much of a load on his heart to distract him from investing in others. There are many who have gone before us that we could say, these people are heroes of the faith. Now, there are few churches that I can think of, and we've been associated with quite a few, where people like Pastor Dan and Pastor Guy have been associated with the church for more than 40 years. That's unusual. And that's right up there with heroes. People who are faithful, people who are steadfast, people who are unmovable, people who have maintained and have been spiritually productive in their home life, ministries in their church, their walk with God, it's obvious. Tychicus is one of those heroes of the faith. What we know about him is impressive and praiseworthy. I'd like to just share a little bit about him tonight. Let's first look in Acts chapter 20. And looking at verses 1 through 6 of Acts 20, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus, Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Paul was taking an offering from Gentile believers to the church in Jerusalem. This would have been his third missionary journey. If you'd like to note down these points that describe Tychicus, it might be worth noting them and referring to them. But in this particular case, Paul sees in Tychicus a credible companion. Now, when you're traveling long distances for long periods of time, and there's finances involved, to whom will you look? And it's like, I need a credible companion. And with this entourage here that Paul had with him, some names are a little bit easier to pronounce than others. Tychicus was amongst them. It's the first introduction we have of this man. And it's one that just sets the tone. He's a credible companion. He's someone on whom I can trust. We're going to be together for a while. There's something of value here. I can rest. I can write. I can take care of other things, but I don't have to focus on certain aspects of it, maybe even where they kept the finances of this gift that was being taken. But he could rely on this one man, Tychicus. Maybe just in reference, maybe just almost like in passing, this was one of the guys with us, but he's starting to develop a reputation for himself as one of those heroes of the faith. Just even in starting in the small things, he was a reliable and credible companion. Next, we see him as a capable communicator. And now we would look and see him in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. A capable communicator, telling the complete truth with tact. A beloved brother, he's recognized here, and a faithful minister. And it makes me think of Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And Tychicus, he was to make known his affairs, how am I doing? Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister, Lord, will make all things known to you. Again, just a passing reference, but I can rely on this particular man that he will communicate the right things in the right way, not holding anything back. Apparently, he was one who would be able to even confront people, but with the right spirit. A beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, he will make known all things to you. A capable communicator. That's another facet in the life of Tychicus. Just in passing, we see him in Scripture, but we always see him in a positive light, not one that was a continuing work or a burden to Paul or stumbling here in Scripture. No, he was one that could be trusted. He was credible. He was one who was capable in being able to communicate. And you know how it is. You can be with other people and things can just kind of get awkward. Hi. How are you? Fine, thanks. How are you? Fine. It's like, we just covered everything. What else? And it just gets awkward and you don't know. Well, it's a nice day. Tychicus, he could deal with people. He was a capable communicator, explaining everything necessary to encourage, to inform, to confront. That's the kind of man that Paul could rely upon. Well, in the very next verse, we see that Tychicus was a compassionate consoler. whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Isn't it a joy to be around a consoling person? Now, I can really appreciate someone like Tychicus being a compassionate consoler. Because in Uruguay, you know, sometimes we get frustrated with culture. Sometimes we get annoyed with attitudes. Sometimes we get bothered by the way things occur there in that country. But we were having to tell our kids as they were growing up, you know, they always call me Poppy. Poppy, did you see what he just did in the traffic? You know, and it's like, yeah, I know. It doesn't bless my heart either. But remember, that's why we're here. These people need the Lord. They're living for another God. You can be in line anywhere, and people just cut right in front of you. No questions asked, no guilt, no shame. Just, that's the way of life. And if I can be number one, if I can be in front of you, that's what's important. Compassion isn't their forte. Soon after we had moved into our home, I was challenged to... I really wanted to win the heart of a neighbor, and he kind of hated Americans. And so I was doing all I could to befriend and win the trust of a guy by the name of Rafael. We were in our house not too long, and I decided, well, I'm going to invite Rafael to a church anniversary celebration. I'd given him a gospel tract, and we were kind of making progress. And he looked at the flyer, at the tract, you know, and it was like, yeah, you know what? I just might come to that. You know, and for him to say that, man, we had just made tons of progress. That night, he had a heart attack. The next day, I took his 8-year-old son to the hospital where he was admitted. And I get up to looking for an illustration object here. So I get up to the front desk with the guy's son, Nicolas. So Nico and I, and it's like, we're here. Nicolas is the son. We wanted to see how Rafael is. And the guy at the front desk, he opens up this book, and he goes, he's dead. Oh, well, thanks. Talk about lack of compassion. We're right there with his son, and that's the response. And that's kind of an attitude that you see generally in this culture without Christ, without hope, who is a people in darkness. And while we can get frustrated, we need to be reminded that's why we're there. On the other hand, we have a co-worker. His name's Tim Willoughby. Some of you guys have met him. And he went down in Uruguay probably 40 years ago with his young wife. They were both in their 20s. And Tim Willoughby's wife got cancer. They went back to the States. She got some treatment. They thought everything was all clear. They had even purchased their tickets to go back to Uruguay, had one more checkup, and found out that the cancer had returned. And within months, she had passed away. Tim Willoughby He's another one of those heroes. He persevered. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He sought God's will. How can I best serve you in this situation with my 2-year-old son? And he went back to Citadel Bible College, where Wendy and I had attended. I guess I had graduated. Wendy was in her senior year. Tim Willoughby went back to teach at the school. And he ended up marrying Wendy's roommate. And we're just the best of friends. Everybody knows that if there's any comfort to be sought, whatever they're going through, they know they can go to Tim Willoughby. He's a man of compassion. And you know, I think it's worth looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because this is lived out by one of those heroes. 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations." Why? "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And Tim has put that into practice. He was comforted, consoled by a compassionate God. Not just to make him feel better, but to enable him to minister more effectively, compassionately, in a consoling way to others around him. And he does it well. So Tychicus, that he may comfort your hearts. I was just reading recently about a characteristic, I guess, of one who's considered a hero of the faith. And it's like, they really haven't passed the test in times of ease. But if they can be consoled, and if they can console when they're under persecution, and when times are really rough, then that puts them up another notch or two. And we can be assured that Tychicus had gone through, I mean, a companion of Paul, you know that Paul's life was not a life of ease. So his companion Tychicus, on occasion in these missionary journeys and in these varied ministries, we see that Tychicus was stepping up. And he certainly was able to be a man of consolation. Well, moving on to Colossians chapter 4, we see Tychicus as a concerned comrade. Look with me, if you would, Colossians 4. And then, looking at verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Now, you know, we can look at the context of all of this and understand the truths that are given and things that we ought to appropriate and apply in our lives. But apart from that, it's almost like Paul is instructing us how we ought to live. And then in verse 7, it's like, oh yeah, here's a good example. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, he'll tell you all the news about me. A concerned comrade, a fellow servant, a fellow slave, this word of doulos, where it's one who's giving himself to the will of another. That's just the kind of guy Tychicus was. Ministering together, serving with the same purpose of wanting to seek God and honor God. It's just like in every passage where Tychicus appears, it makes me appreciate him even more. And then over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see Tychicus as a complementary co-laborer. Complementary co-laborer. 2 Timothy 4:12. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. We simply see in that one sentence that Tychicus was one to avail himself. Here am I. You can count on me. I want to be loyal to the task at hand. I want to be helpful. I want to be a helpful part of God's overall plan, but just a simple word of testimony. And Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. No arguing, no questioning. Not that he was a pansy, but just that you could tell with the heartbeat that Tychicus had. He wanted God's work to keep on. And then, as a competent colleague, we see in Titus chapter 3. He's a competent colleague. Titus 3, verse 12. When I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. This competent colleague, he was flexible. Either or. So I'll send Artemas or Tychicus. We'll see what the real needs are and how I can maybe evaluate or who's most available. But for Tychicus, he just seems to be a diligent, flexible, recognizing the urgency of the need type of guy. How many times might we even get offended? Well, I might send this guy instead of you. Oh, why? Did he pay you some money? I mean, what's our reasoning? I'm not good enough. Well, just send him anyway. See if I, we could have an attitude. But Tychicus, he was just there. He was a competent colleague. Our colleagues that worked with us for over 25 years, Jerry and Linda Glass, I mean, they were seasoned missionaries. And Jerry, his accent was flawless. I'd go out on the streets with Jerry anywhere. Jerry's talking, and it's like they find out he's from the United States. He's an American. And wow, you speak so well, your vocabulary, your accent. And I say, hola. Oh, what part of the United States are you from? And it's like, wow. So we had a table that we set up in the open air market. One guy came and talked to me, and he was pretty kind. He ended up coming to church once. And he's telling Jerry to his face, this guy speaks better than you do. I mean, and Jerry, he knows. He was a competent colleague. There was no infringement of loyalty or competition. He took it for what it's worth, and all he cared about was ministry to be furthered. If that guy thinks the key speaks better than I do. So what? Tychicus. If you want to send him, send him. If you need me, I'm your man. We can appreciate someone with such a spirit, not wanting to bring division. He was loyal. We need that in our homes. We need that in our churches. Loyalty. Caring that someone else might receive the credit more than what I might get. Turn with me, if you would. We're going to conclude with just a couple more thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay, so if you want to follow along, I'll actually read this particular verse in the ESV, which says, 2 Corinthians 8:22, "And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you." Now, first of all, what this does, it gives a description of confirmed character. Confirmed character. But we are not sure if reference here is given to Tychicus or not. It doesn't give a person's name. And as you look into the context of this, it doesn't appear to reveal this person. And we could ask the question, does this describe Tychicus, sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters? And beyond Tychicus, to say, does this describe him, we might ask, does this describe me? Am I one who has a zeal for the work of the Lord? Am I one who can be counted on and found earnest in many matters? And finding our confidence in God and trust in those with whom we work, does that describe me? To have that kind of confirmed character. And then closing with this thought, because this is developed with a correct concept, and that's the last point, having a correct concept. What's my concept of Christ, and what's my concept of me? And looking at a few verses here, Romans chapter 12, and we read in verse 3, Romans 12, 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Galatians chapter 6, and verse 3, and we read, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And so, apparently, we're needing to be careful just exactly of our concept of ourselves. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. Not to deceive ourselves. But a verse where I know it has been shared in many ways over the years, but looking at John chapter 3. And having the correct concept of who the Lord Jesus is in light of who we are, John 3:30 says, He, the Lord Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. And continuing in John, looking at verse 5 of chapter 15, we understand our need to abide in Christ, for without Him we can do nothing. If we are so independent that we don't think that that's really necessary, that's dangerous. If we see ourselves completely dependent upon the Lord, He has us exactly where He wants us. Are we smart? Are we strong? Are we rich? Are we thinking that we're capable because I've gotten by to this point? To see ourselves as someone like Tychicus, it means to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to see myself decreased, not thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think, and abiding in the One who is my life source. If He's the way, the truth, and the life, if He's the resurrection and the life, if the Lord Jesus is the light of the world, the door and the great shepherd, the living water and the bread of life, He is everything we need. And if we turn our backs on Him, we are of all men most miserable. Thank the Lord for the example of someone like Tychicus, seeing a faithful servant, one of those that we can look to and say, he's a hero. What example are we leaving? And to say, well, I don't know, there's nothing, it's hard, or I don't know really how. The fact of the matter is, each of us is leaving an example. Do we want to leave that kind of example, like this unknown figure in 2 Corinthians, to be one who's often tested and found earnest, found faithful, found zealous, found trustworthy, found capable in many matters? Might the Lord find us faithful. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.